Thanks for the opportunity for a chance to come and just share a little bit about what the Lord's been doing. I'll give a quick brief overview, and then is it possible to do the video after that? Okay, so I'll do a quick, I work with Overland Missions, so it's a small-ish organization, but we are definitely growing, founded by a South African man who served in the military, ended up in a war in Angola, saw the destruction of that, and was like, Lord, send me back to share the gospel with people after this, because it is such a disaster, like absolute mess. And the Lord honored that. And in our team growing for the last 21 years, we're in multiple nations across the world. We're in closed countries. We're in countries that are very open. And the whole heart of it is to get the gospel out to rural areas where people don't get the chance to hear about Jesus or haven't had, they don't have a Bible in their language, or they don't have, sometimes we'll meet people and like, they've literally never heard the name of Jesus before. And to get a chance to share with them, to disciple them, to teach them what it means to know who they are in Christ and what God thinks about them, and to raise them up as disciples and leaders, and then in a period of time, transition out of a community and turn it back over to them, as well as other things that we're involved in, including some healthcare stuff, some water projects, some agriculture things. And God's just been so, so good to bless it. And we are seeing such fruit from that. And so I'm working in Congo. I was in Zambia for a few years before our leadership asked us to transition up and start in a new country, which has been fun and exciting and challenging. So this last year was supposed to make it back for our conference that we have every year in Florida. I usually go back every 2 years. And there was extenuating circumstances. Basically, the government, an immigration officer hijacked my passport and I couldn't leave the country for five months. So that was fun. Didn't make it back. So our team put together a video to kind of send back as an update for, hey, this is how things have been going in Congo. So we just filmed it off of a phone. So it's a little bit breezy at the end. You can hear like the wind and stuff, but here's a quick update of what we've been doing in Congo. And then I'll go from there. So awesome. I love how some of the things that the Lord put on my heart to share a little bit this morning was like completely tied in with everybody else and the things that were already shared this morning. It's beautiful how God's spirit just kind of does that. It's wonderful. So I wanted to share a little bit about my testimony, my story about what the Lord has been doing. Because I feel like sometimes we hear these things and we're like, oh my goodness, the Great Commission, the good news. Like we feel it in our spirit. We know God's love does compel us into moving forward, but sometimes we are feeling inadequate. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed. Sometimes we feel like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm sure God chose the wrong person for what's in front of me. And so I just want to share a little bit of my testimony and what God's done over basically the last 10 years, where he's taken me out of a place of feeling so completely overwhelmed by the brokenness and the destruction of what I saw in front of me, to be able to walk with new confidence and new authority, not because of how awesome I am at all, but it's because of Christ in me and the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so within that, sorry, I'm going to scoot this over just a touch. There we go. Within that, I just wanted to start by, my background is with a little bit of healthcare. And one of the things that the Lord did early in my life is gave me an opportunity to travel with a relief organization. And I ended up in Liberia right after their civil war. So as you can imagine, nothing good happens during war. There was a lot of really, really messed up things that happened. And some of the places that we were going to hadn't had healthcare or access to anything in like 15 years. There's still, you know, tanks, there's still military checkpoints, there's all sorts of stuff going on. And we would go out and we would do healthcare because that was our primary goal. It wasn't a missions-based organization. It was just a good organization. And as I went out there and the things that I saw, I came back and I was like, Lord, you have got to be joking me. This is one of the most messed up things. Like, I will never do that again, because we have small ears. So I'll paraphrase a little bit. But you can imagine that during war, there's extreme traumas that people survive. There's horrific, horrific evil things that happen. And we would meet people. And at the end of the day, we would be handing out like, hey, here's some antibiotics for STDs that you survive this crazy experience. Good luck. Have a nice life. And I was like, I can't do this, because we are not addressing. I think sometimes in Western culture, we're like, well, this is healthcare and this is your emotional state and this is your physical state. And I was like, we got to be able to minister to the depths of people's soul and let the Lord be the one who brings healing and brings restoration and brings freedom. And so within that, I ended up going back to school to be a midwife, which was a crazy, crazy thing. And the Lord would bring these people into my life with a lot of brokenness, a lot of pain, a lot of background, where in the middle of childbirth, women are manifesting demons. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I did not learn about this when I went through school. But the Lord would use these opportunities to share the gospel. And over to be able to say, like, for example, there was one family that came in, she delivered her baby, manifested a demon, resuscitated the baby for more than 8 minutes, not breathing, no signs of life. But the Lord had spoken to my spirit, like, this is not a physical situation, this is a spiritual situation. And so I just decided, like, if I have to sit on the floor all night and pray for this baby, I will. And the Lord honored that. And because of that, was able to go back to their family, share the testimony of, like, this is who God is, this is what he's done. And with that, this is the way that God sees you. And for this young girl and her family, they had a new understanding of the Father's love, turned to Christ, got saved, rejected witchcraft, burned the charms, and from that time on, began to follow Jesus. But guys, it didn't start in that kind of victorious, like, I will sit here all day long if that's what it takes. I will intercede all night long if that's what it takes. Because my experience in Liberia, I was looking at things in a very physical standpoint, very physical eyes, where I could see the brokenness and I felt overwhelmed. And I didn't come from a background or a church context where, like, we didn't pray for the sick to recover miraculously. We, like, hey, take an aspirin, call it good, set up an appointment. There's nothing wrong with going to the doctor. I'm not saying that at all. But we didn't have that kind of confidence and authority because I didn't know who I was in Christ, and I didn't know, like, I'd read the Bible and I went to church, and suddenly, like, my nice little Sunday school Bible stories didn't contain the power and the authority that was necessary to meet some of the needs that I was facing. So one of the turning points for me was, like I said, we would go out to these villages and share the gospel. And we had camp in tents, use GPS tracking, find a place that's so far off the grid that sometimes, like, the government doesn't even know how many people exist there. Set up, get permission from community and tribal leaders. Hey, can we share the gospel? And take our GPS and just follow goat paths and footpaths out to wherever we could find people. Sit down. Hey, is it okay if we share the gospel with you? We're walking around telling people about what God thinks about you, God's love. And most people, they're very, I mean, some nations, it's much more difficult to have these conversations, but Zambia and Congo are quite open. They're very open to the gospel. So we go in there and sit down and share. And I remember one day we had this conversation, shared with a family. It was nice, prayed for a couple people. It was all good. And went back to where our camp was. And then the next morning I was washing the dishes and we kind of, like, prep our peanut butter sandwiches for the day. So everybody else is over here. I'm over here washing dishes. And this woman walks up to our camp and she's like, hey, I saw you guys yesterday. I came back because I wanted you to pray for me. And I'm like, well, we were at your house and we did pray for you yesterday. But she's like, I want you to pray that God will heal me. I'm like, oh, okay, sure. Like, I'll pray for you. She's like, I want you to pray that God will heal you because I have HIV and I'm dying. And I was like, oh, like, that's pretty intense. And I'm like, starting to feel in my heart, like, ooh, I know the science behind this. Like, she lives so far out in the middle of nowhere. There's no clinics. There's no access to anything. Then she begins to share, this is what happened. This is how I got it. I was assaulted. I was impregnated. I have a 2-year-old child that's also dying. I want you to pray for me. And at that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, you picked the wrong person. I'm not ready for this, because I was still growing my faith and I was still new. And I just thought, I am the most hypocritical person. You should have chosen somebody else. There's a bunch of people standing over there that you should have gone and asked. And yet in that moment, I prayed for her. And the only thing I could think of was, like, pray the truth of the scripture over her. And so I started in Isaiah 61, which is a really great, great chapter. And it talks about, well, let me just start for you. It says, the spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, and comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. And it keeps going. And so I prayed for this woman. And I felt like I was so hypocritical because I was like, well, I did it. And she's like, okay, thanks. And just like turns around and walks away. And I was just like feeling so overwhelmed. Like, I don't know if I did enough. But yet at the same time, like the word of the Lord does not return void. And I just had to hold on to that. And that day, as we went out, every single home that we visited shared the gospel with people. People were getting saved. One house we went to, there's, you know, multifamily situation where you have the aunt and the grandma and the five kids and the 10 nieces and nephews and everybody's hanging out. And they came to look at us and listen, and they just had no response, shared the gospel. It was a great gospel presentation. Nobody was interested except this one lady. She was really old. She could hardly walk. Her back was all crooked. She like had, you know, like kind of had to like pick her up and drag her over there. And as we were sharing the gospel, she's like, okay, I want to follow Jesus. She's like, but first you should pray for me because I have a bunch of demons and we should probably get rid of those first. We're like, okay. So we prayed for her and she's like, and my back really hurts. And you know, like older people, this hurts and that hurts and everything hurts and my legs and I can't walk and whatever. And so we prayed for her. And as we prayed for her, like the Lord set her free from the oppression of the demonic forces that had been tormenting her and keeping her from walking in life and freedom. And then at that same time, as we prayed for her, the Lord miraculously touched her body and her back straightened up and her hips straightened. And she began to like break out in spontaneous song and joy and dancing for Jesus, which was so amazing. And she takes her stick that she'd been like, her cane that she'd been walking with, she like tosses it and starts like running down the path. We're like, lady, where are you going? She's like, my neighbor doesn't know. And she had had such an encounter with Jesus. She's like, I can't keep it to myself. I can't keep it to myself. And that's the most beautiful thing. She'd never been discipled. She didn't know what she was supposed to do. She didn't understand anything more than like, God has given me grace and freedom and joy. I have to share it with somebody else. And at that point in time, the rest of her family was like, start looking around. They're like, well, obviously God's more powerful than the witch doctor. So we should probably sign up for this as well. And that's just one of those things where that day, the Lord began to show me over and over and over. That morning I had prayed for this woman and just felt like, oh, I don't know if I'm good enough. I probably shouldn't have prayed for her. I probably should have called somebody else over. And the Lord was like, see, Julia, I am the God who heals. See, Julia, I am the God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Is anything impossible for me? And I kept having to be like, no, nothing's impossible for you. And every single home that we went to that day, blind eyes were open, feet were healed, bodies were restored, people were getting saved over and over and over. And it was the most phenomenal thing. And it was very new for me. I didn't grow up in a context where I saw that happen, but there was no other explanation except this is Jesus Christ. This is the power of God. Nothing like we're not in any other context, scientifically, medically, anything like it wasn't witchcraft. We prayed and asked Jesus. He said, pray in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. This is who he does. This is what we saw happen in the New Testament. Okay, we're praying and we're seeing him answer those prayers. And as we were getting ready to leave, we were there for about a week. As we were getting ready to leave that one community, this woman walks up and I didn't even recognize her. And it was the lady from earlier that I had prayed for. Her whole face was just full of joy and glowing. And she said later that day, as she was walking home, she's like, the power of Jesus touched me. He's like, my body is no longer weak and feeling ill. She's like, but more than that, he took away the pain and the anger and the bitterness that she'd been holding against the person who had assaulted her. She's like, I was able to go home and for the first time sleep in peace. And I know that Jesus did this. And it was just the most phenomenal thing because in that the Lord was saying like, Julie, even in your smallest faith, I can use you. I can be a part of what you're doing. And I'd grown up knowing like the Great Commission is so important. I want to participate in that, but I didn't have the right personality. I was always shy. I was a picky eater. I didn't like doing all these things, you know, and I'm like, oh, God will find somebody else to be a part of it. And yet, as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's funny that you said that because I actually started as that's where we're going to start. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 to 21. And it says, the love of Christ controls us or compels us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was risen. From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we were once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, In Christ, God reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And it is an absolute honor and joy to be able to go into places where people have been survived horrific trauma, or they themselves, they used to be child soldiers, or they used to be alcoholics, or they used to be people who slept around and caused all sorts of chaos within their community, and be like, salvation is God's gift for you. It's possible that you can be reconciled to God and you can be reconciled back to one another. And to see, as we teach, like, once you are a child of God, the old truly has gone, the new has come. You are a new creation in Christ. And what happens is, over a period of time, as they take hold of the word, if they take hold of that, they can begin to walk in a new confidence and a new power and authority. And we actually have people on our team who used to live in that kind of context, absolute disasters of human beings, but the Lord in his mercy and his grace took a hold of them, and they grasped the grace and the fullness of God and said, it's possible for God to use me to be a part of changing my community. And we have a team of 10 Congolese team members. They're mostly in their 20s. We're going through theology programs. They come from all different backgrounds and denominations. And then we go with them and we go out and do evangelism. We share the gospel and we follow up with discipleship and doing Bible studies in various communities. And you saw the picture of how crazy some of the roads are. We have 6 months of the year where it's rainy season and less than 2% of the country has a paved road. So it's just mud and rivers and crocodiles and hippos. And it's crazy, but we have these kids who are so excited about, God has touched my life. God has ministered to me. God, I know the word of God, and it's powerful and it's life-giving. And they are, for the first time, going out to some of these communities. Growing up in a city, obviously they're not in extreme wealth or anything like that, but they, because of safety and whatever, they often haven't gone out to the village. So some of the girls that we work with were like, I've never been to a village before, because there's still rebels cruising through. There's still conflict. There's still things that are going on. And so their families were like, you should stay home. You should, you know, don't go out, don't do whatever. And yet when the love of God is just inside of you, you cannot keep it to yourself. You have to share it. And the freedom and the joy and the healing that you've known, body, soul, and spirit, you can't keep it to yourself, because the love of God is just so overwhelming. And he changes you, and he gives you confidence and courage and boldness where it never seemed possible before. And you see him begin to move in those ways. And I think the key is that when we take the word of God and apply it, he grows our faith. When we take, there's this disconnect where sometimes we'll read a nice verse in our quiet times, or you go to church and you'll hear a great sermon and you're like, oh, that'd be so nice if that was true in my life. And there seems to be this sometimes like disconnect of actually putting it into practice. And for me, one of the things that I've learned over the years is I started studying kind of like how people of faith seem to function, because they seem to be like, you don't want to put like special people of faith like up on this weird platform or whatever, but there's something different about certain people who walk in a confidence. And I used to look at those people, I'm like, gosh, what is the difference? Like, I don't have it in my life. What's going on? What is it that transforms somebody from being like the normal everyday? Like, you look around, you're like, well, it's exactly like everybody else looking around me. And then you look at somebody else, you're like, wow, what is it about them that has changed their heart and their mind? And you look at various contexts in the Bible of people who God or Jesus interacted with and was like, oh, this is a person of great faith, or this is, you know, this is somebody who can walk in such power and authority. And for example, there is, you know, the boy with the unclean spirit that came up to the disciples and to Jesus, and they're like, ah, can you heal him? And Jesus, you know, said, if you can, all things are possible for him who believes. And immediately the father was like, I believe, help my unbelief. And I think that's a good first step for any of us, just to acknowledge, like, Lord, you got to help my unbelief. You got to be real and just be like, I need help. And then the next thing that seemed to really change my trajectory in life was the concept of We know in Romans, we hear, you know, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Absolutely. Amen. But if we keep reading another verse later, or actually two verses later, it says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of God. When you take the word of God and you saturate your heart and your mind with it, it begins to transform you from the inside out. And things that you were like, well, that's really nice. That's a nice, cute little Bible verse. Maybe I'll write it on a poster and stick it over, you know, whatever. But the word of God is active and alive, and it transforms and it moves in it. And it comes to your heart and your mind as you're walking through these situations and you're seeing impossible things and you're seeing things that you're like, whoa, there's no way. And then somehow the word of God by the Spirit of God will drop a verse or a Bible story into your mind. And you're like, no, this is the word of God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing has changed. What is possible, what you read in the New Testament and Acts, what Jesus did when he was here on earth, he has called us to imitate him. If we're supposed to be imitators of Christ, he actually wants us to like do the stuff that he did. And it seems really crazy and overwhelming, but we got to start by saturating our minds and taking hold of our thoughts that kind of like, we're looking at things. Oh, I don't know, whatever. Like, no, I know that nothing is impossible. I know that my God is the God who heals. I know that when I walk into situations like this, because not because of me, but because of the hope of Christ within me, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living inside of me. So every time I walk into a situation that is full of the brokenness and darkness and pain and suffering, it's not me, it's Christ in me. And I can confidently say, I don't have all the answers, but let me point you to somebody who does. Let me show you the one who says, I am the solution for every single situation. And as we begin to walk in that kind of power and confidence, God does move mountains. He really does change things. We look at Abraham, and obviously he had a few bumps in the road along the way. Very human, I appreciate that. Like, he had a few struggles, but he also was called a man of righteousness, and his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Like, that's pretty legit faith in the Old Testament. I'm like, wow, what was going on there? And we know that God promised him that he would be the father of many nations. And if we look at Romans 4, it goes back through and it starts to, at the beginning, it says, and Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And then later on, it talks about the promise of his offspring. And we look at verse 17 and it kind of goes through. And I love this part because it's so practical about what we can do. And it says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in his faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promises of God, but he grew strong in his faith. Listen to this. He grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. This is the key. It's not that we're not looking at things like he considered his body. His body was as good as dead. His wife was old. He's not saying like the science wasn't there, but he's like, this is what God's promise to me was. This is what God has said. I have an inheritance in Christ. I am a child of God. This is what God said is my position, is my place. Not because I'm cool and awesome. It's because of who Christ is. And if we're going to be co-heirs with Christ, if we're going to be walking in the way that he's called us to walk, then we have to have enough audacity to be like, listen, this is what the word of God says. I'm going to take it. And this is what Abraham did. He grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do as he has promised. And sometimes that's phenomenally difficult because we're looking at things and we're like, whoa, what I see, like there's no solution. There's no way out of this. There's no possible way. And yet this is the example of men and women in the scripture who walked with such faith and such authority that God literally moved mountains for them and did miracles. And we saw God rescue them. And one of my other favorite stories is in Daniel chapter 3. So we know Nebuchadnezzar, little bit crazy, built a statue altar, golden big statue, and he's like, I'm going to play all the music and everybody bow down and worship. You have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so if we look They get they basically get arrested and brought before the king because they're refusing to bow down to the idol. And the king is not real happy with them. And he's threatening to throw them into the fiery furnace. And so if we look at verse 15. And he's like, we're going to play all this music. And if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into a fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. I love this kind of faith because they're like, our God is more than able. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow. And that's the kind of faith and like posture that we have got to take if we're going to see people set free, if we're going to see people walk in liberty, if we're going to see Jesus touch people's lives. Just like, I know that my God is more than able because this is what the truth of the scripture is. But even if he doesn't, I will not exalt anything above the name of Jesus Christ. All glory and honor goes to him. I still will not bow to anything else. And that becomes our testimony. And that becomes our faith is you're going to sound like a crazy person to a certain degree. Cause you're like, well, haven't you seen this? Or don't you recognize what's going on? You're like, I'm not saying that there's no giants in the land. I'm saying that God has given me the promised land and he has promised that he will fight my battles for me. If we're going to walk in victory, we have got to take the word of God and put it into action and elevate Christ and his authority and his power and his ability above everything else. And so when we walk into these places, Congo is not known, like Cheryl was saying, Congo is not known by anything awesome. It's a disaster of a country. It is an absolute disaster of a country. There's so much corruption. There's so much brokenness. There is so much oppression of the vulnerable. There's still ongoing conflict. There's not enough clinics and schools. There's, you know, politicians are stealing money and they're paying, you know, like some of the there are churches on every corner and yet their theology is so wacky where, you know, like you have people who are, you know, somebody comes to the pastor, I need some prayer. Well, how much money are you going to pay me? That's how good of a prayer you're going to get. And it's like craziness. Or you have people who come through and they're like, ah, but you know, because of, you know, this or that, or because of your past, God can't hear you. Or, you know, even there's a woman that I worked with in Zambia. She came through one of our Bible studies that we had for quite a while. And she went to a specific denomination that basically told her, because you're a woman, God doesn't hear you when you pray. And so she grew up kind of hearing this thing about like, well, I guess God doesn't really care about me. And she's looking around in the context of her life. And she's like, well, that makes sense. Everything that I see around me just solidifies the lies that people are telling me. And we began to study the Bible. And we were going over specifically with prayer. Like if we ask anything according to God's will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have what we asked of him, not for our own benefit, but for all the glory to come back to God so that his will can be accomplished. And so we shared this with her. And she's just, if you were to look at her, you would think nothing is special about her. She's just a nice old lady from the village. She never graduated from school. Her family doesn't think that she's that important. She doesn't have any money. She doesn't have any, you know, there's nothing about her that would say this woman is like a giant of faith, because she just really wasn't. But she heard, she read the word of God and she heard, I know that my God will hear me. I'm a child of God. He hears me when I pray. He inclines his ear to hear my voice. And so we live in an area at that specific time. We were living in an area where there's actually quite a few wild animals. You have to like telling the kids, you have to keep your shoes on at night so the snakes and the scorpions don't get you. There's Cape Buffalo, there's baboons, there's elephants coming through. And so as the elephants come through, like they'll even like go through the fields and like, it's really unfortunate. I mean, they're hungry too, it's hard, but like they're on their way to get like food and water and they're coming through. So one day Rita was on the, like a small mini bus where you shove like 50 people into a bus that should take like 10 and all the goats and the chickens, and it broke down on the way to town. And so they were just sitting on the side of the road waiting for another bus to show up. Well, what happens is the elephants started coming through and obviously people kind of start getting upset and agitated, which doesn't make a nervous wild animal any less peace-filled. And so one elephant started like really getting upset and started to charge towards them. And the people in this community know, like, unfortunately, there's people who die every year from getting trampled by elephants because the elephants, they're upset, they're scared, they're protecting their young. I don't know what specifically the thing was. But anyway, this elephant starts charging. And Rita stood up and she says, I put my child behind me. She's like, I pointed to that elephant and I said, in the name of Jesus, stop. And the elephant stopped, turned around and walked away. And everybody was like, what just happened? She's like, well, I heard that I should pray and that God hears me when I pray. And here's this woman who had literally had no other phenomenal experience, but she's like, this is what the word of God says. This is who I am. I'm a child of God. And everybody after that point in time was coming like, hey, can you pray about this? Hey, you want to like chat with me about whatever? And she became this phenomenal woman of God where she walked in the confidence and the authority of what Christ had done. And it's so exciting that God invites us to participate in what he's doing. When he puts us in places where we see absolute brokenness and chaos, he allows us to participate in that. And the last verse that I wanted to share and encourage you guys with is from John 14. So Jesus is talking about, like, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And the words that I say to you, I do not say on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And 14 verse 12, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do this, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. I realize that sometimes it sounds a little bit crazy, and you're looking at your community, you're looking at the settings, and yet our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he has done halfway across the world in Africa, it's possible for him to do here. There is nothing that limits the power and the authority. And his heart for people is still the same. To reconcile broken people back to the Father, to reconcile broken people back to one another, to move, to give us life, an abundant life. But he's looking for his children to participate in what he's doing. He's not looking for superstars. He's just looking for people who have enough faith to say, listen, I recognize that I do not have it all together. That is the best place to be. He's actually looking for people who have that kind of spirit and being like, I need Jesus. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need him working in me and through me to be able to minister to the people that God has called us to minister to. And he invites us into his purposes and his plans as we are willing to surrender, as we're willing to his way. Not that our agendas are necessarily bad, but like, Lord, what is actually your plan? What is your solution? And as we choose to walk by faith and hold unswervingly to his truth and freedom, we will see giants in the land begin to crumble. We will see people set free by the name and the power of Jesus Christ. We will see justice happen. We will see healing happen. And there will be reconciliation, not in our own abilities, but because of Christ. And there are many, many people in our community living in darkness, living in brokenness, hopelessness, and they are searching for the solution. And as believers, we have that. We have the ability, maybe not perfectly articulate, and that's fine, but the hope of Christ lies in each and every one of them. I'll just share one last testimony. As our team has gone out, we've really said, like, hey, we believe in you. Even though some of them are young or they're coming from various backgrounds, there was one day we were supposed to go out and do follow-up to, we'd done evangelism in an area, we're going to do follow-up. Because of specific COVID restrictions, we couldn't do a normal Bible study. And so there was something that came up and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to make it. I had to cancel at the last minute. But I sent two gals that I've been working with, wonderful women of God. They're in their 20s. They love Jesus. They love people. They know the word. They're amazing. So sent them out and they were able to do just basically like home to home praying for people. And as they were talking to the community leader, they're like, hey, is anybody sick? Does anybody need stuff? And so they're like, oh, hey, there's this lady over here. You should go pray for her. So they found this woman lying in her dark mud hut. She'd been there for about 3 months. She had this massive abdominal tumor that she'd traveled hours and hours to the hospital in a city many, many hours away. They basically sent her home. There's nothing we can do. We don't know how to fix you. There's nothing available. Sent her home to die. She'd been on bedridden for probably 3 months, just waiting to die. So the girls find her and go in and just encourage her. This is who God is. This is God, the way that God loves you. You've got to reject witchcraft. You have to trust in Christ alone. And they prayed for her. And at that same time, they met three old ladies who were at the house who'd been going to church for years and years, never heard that they could get saved, never knew that salvation was available. shared the gospel with those three ladies. Those three ladies got saved, and then they went on and ministered to a couple other people. At the end of the next week, we were able to follow up in that in the Mukumbi village, and we went back to check on this lady with the abdominal tumor, and she met us at the door. She like lifts up her shirt. She's like, look, it's gone. And God had miraculously touched her body and the tumor was gone. And the girls was like, she was so fat before with the tumor. I was like, okay. And anyway, but God had miraculously touched her body and it was completely gone. And the woman was like, are you guys going to pray for other people today? They're like, yeah, we're going to go to, you know, various houses. She's like, I'm coming with you. I have to tell people of what God has done. And that's the most beautiful thing of like, we could look at how there seems to be impossibilities all over the place. And there seems to be, you know, wicked running unchecked. And yet the Lord is at work in small places. And yet those are mighty, mighty victories, taking back ground from the enemy. And people are walking in the confidence of an authority. Like now Ogla and Christelle are like, hey, we can go and pray for people. Julie wasn't with us. She wasn't the one like, awesome. They gave all glory to God, but they were like, it wasn't because I was with the special pastor or the special missionary. Like as a child of God, I know who Christ is and what he's done. And so they are now carrying within them this joy and this confidence. I can be a part of what God's doing. I can be a part of who he wants to, or how he wants to accomplish his purposes. And so we're so excited for what the Lord's going to continue doing within our nation. And yet we're trusting that the Lord will raise up more and more believers to stand together in unity and have that confidence and authority of who Christ is and what he wants to accomplish in those places. So, all right. Well, thanks. I guess I'm done.